This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you from the patio studios and, of course, as always, from our friends at InnovativeCompanies.com. All the arms underneath one umbrella to take care of your residential, commercial, and industrial needs, all by my good friend Randy Green, who's a 35-year experienced second-generation craftsman. Whether it's construction, heating or cooling, electric, or plumbing, they've got you covered. I love the family. I love the work that they do. And again, I know some people that have had some work done from Randy, and they tell me everything you talk about on that show is 100% true. It's refreshing in this day and age to have a guy that you can trust. And that guy you can trust is Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, folks, you know, it's a wait-and-see approach right now with an off-season that started with a bang for the Cardinals. So let's look at that. I mean, we get Paul Goldschmidt, and I think our passion level for maybe big things happening this off season, for some reason we've lost the sight of how good Paul Goldschmidt is, and I don't want us to do that. I think some people are really hung up on the he's only signed for 1 year. We've got that crowd, and then we've got the other crowd hung up on the but he's going to be 32. So, again, I know the numbers say that the majority of players all rapidly decline. Somebody showed me a thing, and I told them, I understand that you decline, but never forget that thing is everybody that's ever played, and the majority of those players were just average players, okay? Now, and I know great players decline too. Everybody's different. But sooner or later, we got to take a risk. Sooner or later, you got to believe in somebody. And if I'm going to take a risk and be wrong, I'm going to believe in a great player. And let's face it, Paul Goldschmidt is a great player. We still got work to do. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Obviously, the Dexter Fowler thing is first and foremost on everybody's mind. I know we're going to talk about that today as well. But so let me welcome into the show on the M4byYachty.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year's and all that stuff. You know how these days are, you know, family first and stuff like that. So just wishing everybody a Merry Christmas, man. How you doing, Jimbo?
I'm doing really well. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at what you've done, man. You've stepped up your game. You keep sending me. We're going to be talking to all these guys. We had a great conversation last week with Mark Saxon. You know, I love the back and forth. I jokingly say all the time, I don't care. You know, obviously with Mark Saxon, there were some things, some reports that we had discussed on the show that I didn't like. As a fan, I didn't like them. I didn't like how they were done. That doesn't matter. I don't understand why. Just because I didn't like the way some reports went, that doesn't mean I don't like the guy. I don't even know the guy, right? So I find it interesting that we can't be good to one another on social media. And we're going to talk about that today, what's going on with the whole thing. I had tweeted out, and I know you saw it. You know, somebody had and again, this guy's a good listener. He even messaged me, and we had a great conversation about it. He's like, I really didn't mean it that way. And I'm like, I understand. I'm just telling you that I don't want to be associated ever, if anything is taken negatively, in a tweet at an athlete. I don't think it's necessary, because I think we're all entitled to our opinion. I mean, nobody said you can't have an opinion. Nobody said you're even right or wrong. I just, it's the respect thing for me of knowing this, okay? I'm not going to open my mouth. I could have fun, and let's face it, this is supposed to be entertainment, okay? I'm not saying we're the kings of entertainment. You're listening to this show, so you're entertained one way or the other. Either you enjoy the conversation or you find it so ridiculous that it's like a train wreck. But my point on the whole thing is this is supposed to be entertainment. Ripping on somebody personally to their face or to, I mean, I don't do that in my private life. I don't care that much. I don't understand why anybody would take a thrill on reminding a pro athlete that he's not very good right now. I don't understand that. They know. I've said it 100 times. If a pro athlete's struggling, they know. I don't know why they need some guy that couldn't hit a lick sitting on his couch at home to tell him to his face that he can't. And that's basically what you're doing, trying to do from behind a keyboard when you tweet at somebody.
Oh, you don't have to do that. You know, we don't have to get to that point. And 100% with you. I'm a player, and I was a very sensitive player too. I mean, I didn't like the criticism because I knew how much work I put into it. I knew how much people didn't know about me. I knew that I got there on a normal night. Nobody knew that I got there at 12:30 in the day, which I could have been spending time with my family, playing video games or playing board games or just having fun. I was there at the stadium at 12:30. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew that I had to go through a process of studying the hitters, studying the pitchers to hit when I was hitting, and studying the hitters when I was catching, studying my pitchers, talking to all of them. All that goes into it. At 12:30, I was there, and I got home by 12 a.m. or 12:30 a.m. I was home. So all that sacrifices, everybody does it. Some of them does it a little less. Some of them does it a little more. So I knew that. That's why the criticism for me was so harsh. You know, I took it really serious. I took it really to my heart, because I knew how hard I work, and all these players can tell you the same thing. I don't like when somebody from behind the couch is telling me that I suck. Of course, if I do suck, I'm going to face it, but I don't want to suck. I want to do the best I can for the Cardinals to win that game. You know, I want to do everything I can. I'm trying to work my butt off, and if they don't want me, release me or trade me. That's what our thinking is. But to take crap from some people, it is really hard. We have to learn how to block them off. We have to learn how to not feel offended by it. But man, we're human beings, and if these are our own fans that are criticizing me, and I play in their own team, imagine other fans, man. I mean, it's really harsh, Jimbo. But we need to learn as professionals. We need to learn how to block it off and just be normal. You know, like, just try to be normal.
For sure. And you worked hard your whole life. You're working hard now in your post baseball career life as you become a announcer and entertainer. Last week you started sending me, Jimbo, I told you I just needed to get some stuff figured out here, and you started sending me, we're going to interview this guy and this guy and this guy. As mentioned last week, a guy whose name's been synonymous with St. Louis sports for quite some time, the man himself, Mike Claiborne, who I've had the pleasure of listening to on different stations and different things as he's carved out a nice little career for himself here in St. Louis sports. Let's welcome into the show Mr. Mike Claiborne.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys. I've been waiting on the call. I hear this is a very popular podcast, so now that I'm part of this, I'm excited.
Well, we don't want to bring you down to our level too terribly much here, Mike. I know you've got some you keep some good company in the St. Louis sports scene. I'm not quite sure. Now, listen, I tell people all the time I'm a lucky guy. I get to work with Benji Molina every day, just about. But you found yourself working with I said before you come here, you've become synonymous with the St. Louis sports scene. I've been listening to you for a long, long time. I don't mean to date you or myself, but Now you find yourself doing a lot of stuff with Mr. Shannon, who's beloved by Cardinal fans all over. So you've done quite a job for yourself here, but you've obviously gotten to meet my friend Benji Molina down at the stadium as well. So you've been at this a long time, my friend. Where are you at in this whole thing with the Cardinals?
Well, you know, I started in the business in 81. I was around for the World Series of 82. I've done a lot of stuff. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Benji's part of our broadcast family. I mean, I've been blessed to work with Mike Shannon, but Benji and Polo are doing a phenomenal job in introducing Cardinal baseball to a faction of people who should have been listening well before now. And just to have them part of what we do is a treat for me, because I knew Benji, didn't know him as much as a player, but knew him as a coach when he was with us. And obviously Yachty, and to have him be part of what we do, man, I'm excited about it, because they're going to help me with my Spanish. And pretty soon I'm going to be able to order off a menu in Spanish. And it's going to be on after that point.
Hey, maybe you can help me with my Spanish. How's that, buddy?
Well, you know what? Why don't we get Polo to help us both?
I know, but Polo knows more English than Spanish. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I've heard that story. Yeah, you're right. But you know what? He may be like me. He can fake it with good dialect, man. You know, once people hear that first sentence, like, "Cómo está, mi amigo?" They're like, "Oh, that's my homeboy." And then when you want more, then you go like me and say, "That's all I got."
Mike, I got to ask you, we all date ourselves here to some degree. You just kind of dated yourself. So you've been around for a lot of Cardinal baseball, and I tell people all the time, we have and believe me, it's wonderful. We have a new style of fan, right? Like, and let's say that's how, there's a new generation of fan every day. A new one's born, right? We always say that. There's a new generation of fan that lives through social media. There's a new generation of fan that pays more attention to the back of a baseball card than the front of it sometimes. There's a new generation of fan that, I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's a younger fan here that all they know from the St. Louis Cardinals is success. You obviously, like myself, were around for the late 80s, the early 90s. So we've seen it get bad here, no matter how much we love our baseball home. The St. Louis Cardinals have missed the playoffs for a little bit here, which is, to this new fan base especially, is unheard of to miss 3 years in a row. Things are going on this offseason. In your opinion, I think this is a pivotal offseason for this franchise. Would you agree with that, or do you think they're kind of the Teflon Don? Are they the Teflon Don?
No.
Can they withstand, a late 80s,
no,
early 90s thing?
No, I don't think so. I agree with you. I think this is a pivotal year for a lot of different reasons. You know, the Cardinals have been blessed to not have a lot of competition. I mean, the Blues, that's a different crowd. The Rams were a different crowd. And now the Blues are struggling, and the Rams are no longer here. They have the spotlight on them. And, they made some mistakes along the way with regard to personnel, and they've allowed some teams to pass them. And, they've got to really go for it now. I mean, this is no longer a rebuilding process, and they have to go for it now. And how they do that, well, the first step was picking up a Goldschmidt, but, in my opinion, there's still a whole lot of work to do. I think they're halfway there with regard to how this team is going to look. But in answer to your question, yes, this is a pivotal year.
Benji and I have talked on the show numerous times about, what we see as the need. I think it's real. In my opinion, it's not right or wrong to sit here and go Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper. I think it's easier to not have Bryce Harper because you went and got Paul Goldschmidt. But the one thing that we all agree on, and I'll be curious to get your thoughts, and I'm sure Benji then can come off of what you say, because this is his baby. You can do whatever you want to do, but if you don't figure out this bullpen thing, does it really matter? So in your eyes, is that where we're at on this?
Yes. You never have enough pitching in this game, but the bullpen is the reason why the Cardinals didn't compete last year. And if you don't get some help from the left side, now my two guys would be Zach Britton and Andrew Miller. And the reason why I say both of them is because they both can master both sides at the plate. I mean, you know, they brought in Brett Cecil to get left-handers out, and Brett Cecil couldn't get anybody out. So I think that in this case, you got to go for it. You have to say, you have to make that other team say, this is going to be a sixth inning or a seven inning game. And if you're in the eighth inning and you're on deck and you're trying to figure out how to hit Zach Britton or Andrew Miller, you got problems because they don't give it up and because they have experience late. And Benji, you know what it's like when you got a lights out guy late in the ball game, and all of a sudden you just say to him, hey, let's play some catch because these guys aren't going to hit you. That's what the Cardinals have to have. Somebody that says to the other team, hey, you better score early because after the sixth inning, it's our ball game.
Yeah, and you're 100% right, Mike, because, you know, we've been talking on the show a lot about the bullpen, and I keep saying, well, you can add Machado and Harper into your team, but if you keep losing those games after the sixth inning, it ain't going to make a difference, bro. So
I agree.
I've been saying that, and it's true, man. The bullpen is a big piece. I hope they take it seriously because it could win you some games. Watch the Milwaukee Brewers go how far they went, and without that bullpen, they have no shot, man. They had zero shot. But I'm with you, too. When this is a year for them to respond, this is a year for the Cardinals to respond as an organization and say, hey, listen, we're not going anywhere. If you're the Milwaukee Brewers, I don't care where you at. If you're the Cubs, I don't care where you at. But this is what we're going to do right here. We're going to get Andrew Miller. And it makes a difference in the sixth inning when you look in the bullpen. Last year, Mike, last year everybody wanted to get to the bullpen on the Cardinals because they knew that they were nasty on the starting rotation. But the bullpen was, you know, messing up, you know, so.
Well, you know, and the other thing, you know, you touched on Milwaukee. How much of a difference maker was Josh Hader when he come in the sixth or seventh inning? And just when you thought you were going to mount an attack, he come in and shut you down. And now, you know what you're saying? Boy, the top of our order is only going to have one more shot at this guy. And now we got to face the closer. You know, whether it was Knuble or some other guys they ran out there. And here's the other thing. The way bullpens are used today, you have to have at least two, if not three guys, who've actually closed before. You can't go into a season and say, well, we hope he's going to turn into a good closer. That's for Pittsburgh. That's for some of these other teams that don't have a chance to win. Not the Cardinals, not the Cubs or Milwaukee. And I got news for you. Cincinnati is going to have an impact on this division this year. This might be the toughest division in the National League, although the Eastern Division is getting tough with everything that they're doing over there. But you know what, man? There's no soft scheduled teams anymore like you have where you say, oh, man, we got to play Seattle. There's a team we can beat up on. Or there's Baltimore. There's a team we can beat up on. We don't have that in this division.
You know, no chance, man.
I agree with you. I look at it and say, okay, so – I hate to use this term, but, you know, you do have to look at the keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak. So the St. Louis Cardinals for years are the quote-unquote class of the division. And
they were the Joneses.
Yeah. But the business model was set up that way, right? Like the way baseball was set up, the Walt Jocketty and the St. Louis Cardinals knew what? They knew that teams were going to be out of it. They were going to be wanting to get rid of contracts. They could trade guys. And they could get guys. Well, it's not that easy anymore. And quite frankly, not only is it not easy for them to be the team that goes out and gets a guy at the trade deadline and does this, now you add in the fact that a couple guys that were also Rams in your division have decided, you know what, hey, we can play too. We made some shrewd moves, and now we're better. So I'm of the belief that the ante's up, so to speak. And that, for me, is the whole Bryce Harper thing. I'm not like – the sky's falling if we don't get him. I think they should because I think they can and I think they have a need. That's why I think they should get him. But, you know, if you were to ask me Go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with you on Harper.
Okay.
to spend that kind of money on a guy who's never driven in 100 runs, who doesn't hit for average. Now, I know he walks a lot, but he's not the best base runner. His defensive metrics tell me that he's an average guy in the outfield who shows flashes of what he could do. To spend $350 million, along with the $49 million you're going to spend on getting rid of Dexter Fowler because nobody's going to take him, that's $400 million on a position that hasn't given me that ultra superstar status number. I know he looks good on paper, but when you turn to page two, the numbers don't make him that much of a threat. He was on better teams in Washington, and they didn't win. They had better pitching, and they didn't win. And he was a guy that was right in the middle of it. They gave him the town, and they still didn't win. I don't know if that's going to make him much better. You know, free agency is something that we need to understand. You know, free agency works because of your date of birth. That doesn't make you a better player. And that's something that we have a tendency to lose focus on. Just because you're a free agent doesn't mean that you're going to be an all-star. If the Washington Nationals really thought that much of them, they spend whatever. They decided they're not going to go there, so they must see something that we don't see. And I think that's something we as fans have to come to the realization of. Just because a guy's date of birth puts him in a year where he's going to be a free agent doesn't necessarily make him a better player for us.
Yeah, I mean, you make valid points on Harper. Some of them, not from a professional opinion, from a fan opinion, I disagree with. But listen, that's what this is all about. Like, we all have players we like, players we don't like, things like this.
Yeah,
you can't get away from that's where you can't get away from the back of the baseball card, right? Like, some of this, you got to start thinking, well, I like the way he plays or I like what he brings. And then there's that word, which is Benji's favorite, potential. Like, sometimes you got to look at things. You couldn't have said it better. I've brought this up 1,000 times. Birth date and how – it's not just birth date, though, either, Mike. I think that's a great point. But also think about this. The way your major league career has unfolded, because I say this all the time. People are like, well, he ain't better than Mookie Betts, and he ain't better – and I'm like, well, okay, you're right, he's not. So my question to you would be this then. If Mookie Betts was 26 and a free agent, what would he get? But he's not. See, there's the issue at the end of the day. You'd love to have Mookie Betts. You'd love to offer Mookie Betts all this money, but Mookie Betts isn't 26 and a free agent. So there's a lot of factors that go into play here that I think people don't look at, and they just think just spend, spend, spend. And I get that too.
Michael, you put it in so many perfect words for a lot of our fans to understand, because not because they say you're good, you should get the money, right? That's just how it is. Look at our example on our couple of our guys. They came in being powerhouse somewhere else, being good players over there and somewhere else, and then all of a sudden they cannot do it. Just because they're young, you're not going to spend that much money. I don't have a problem with Harper being in our club because it'll make us a little better, I guess, you know, in our lineup. That impact guy, you know, maybe he gets better, but I'm more concerned with the other areas. But this Harper situation, you can't think that the Harper guy is gonna come out and rake. And like you said, man, I was impressed with how you put it, man, because I couldn't put it that way. Even if I study, I couldn't put it in those words, buddy.
That's that professionalism, well, Benji. That's that professional. I told you, he's been on the St. Louis Airways forever.
Hey, Benji, here's the other question I roll out. Would you have a $35 million right fielder, or would you like to have a couple of guys coming out of your bullpen where combined you'll probably spend less than $30 million? Because as we're learning, if you don't have pitching, I don't care who you got in right field, it ain't going to make a difference.
Yeah, you can have Harper or Machado, I'm telling you. And if it's the sixth inning, seventh inning, you're going to bring a case that we have, man, we're in trouble.
Well, and that's my point where, and I'm not saying Harper's a bad player. I just think that the Cardinals have more options. Because if everybody else swings the bat on this team like they're capable of, we'll be fine in right field because you got Fowler. We know Jose Martinez is one of the best hitters in the game. I'm sorry. He can hit off the bench. He can hit late. He can start. Defense has been his concern. And then you got some young guys in, you know, I know everybody's high on Tyler O'Neill, but Benji, I got to tell you, I think the real sleeper in this organization is Adolis Garcia. He's truly a five-tool player, young man from Cuba. Did see a lot of him last year, but he was the best player in spring training last year. They just wanted him to get some more at-bats in the minors.
Give him a shot, man. Give him a shot, and you'll see what you'll have, man. The same shot that Tyler O'Neill's getting, they should give it to him.
Yeah, I think that if they find some at-bats and some playing time for Garcia in spring training, he's going to make some people make some tough decisions on who's going to be the fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. He's really electric, man. He can play. I love him.
He can do everything.
He's a sleeper. We always have in the show, Mike, that we always talk about Jose Martinez in your lineup or out your lineup. What do you think?
I'm going to have him out of my lineup for now, but I'm going to find a way to get him two starts a week. In the outfield.
But that maybe might not be enough, though.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give him two getaway days, a Thursday and a Sunday, and he's my first pinch hitter. Maybe not my first pinch hitter because I need somebody with some thunder late. But you know what? I can put him in the outfield. And here's the thing about him. You know, one of the things we don't talk about, he may have as good of a throwing arm as anyone in the outfield. I mean, he's made some really good throws. You know, the question is, can he get to the ball? And if you're late, you know, that could be a concern. But I got to tell you, I'm going to probably have him coming off the bench because I don't have anything else right now that can come off the bench and give me a big knock when I need it. But he's got a spot on. I'm going to go with Fowler early. Because Fowler, if he gets on base, can go first or third on just about anything. And that's the one thing you want to have in a guy. In the way the game works now, you have to have a guy that can go first or third on base hit in the gap, especially, and maybe score from first.
We can afford to have Fowler the last couple of years, buddy. We can afford.
No. I agree with you. I agree. And I'm going on what Fowler did his first year where he put up some good numbers. You know, he had a career high in home run and on-base percentage. Last year was just a disaster, and I think he obviously has admitted that. But with everything else, and he said he's healthy, he's working with Barry Bonds on his swing. You know, he's got a lot to prove to himself and certainly to the fans. And if he plays well, then I think we're going to be okay. If he doesn't play well, you got the options of Jose Martinez or maybe Tyler O'Neill or maybe Adolis Garcia. But that's only if everybody else is swinging the bat. You know, you can't put this on one person. You got to have some other guys going. And whoever is hitting in front of Paul Goldschmidt, he should be, you know, thanking his lucky stars because he's going to see a lot of fastball. He's going to see some pitches that he can handle. So
that's why
it's one of those.
That's why we need Jose Martinez in the second spot, bro.
You know, it's not a. Hey, Benji, I can live with it, but I think I can give you 49 million reasons on why Dexter Fowler is going to get the first shot.
Yeah, that's true.
We know the money. But we were just saying like our best lineup because remember, Mike, we missed the playoff 3 years in a row. So
that's right
for us. We cannot afford to lose one game in the season. One freaking game, man.
We can't. What you're saying is we can't give away. We can't give away games.
No.
You know, last year, you know, you're going to lose games, of course, but you can't give away games. And that's what we were really bad at, man, with the bullpen and sloppy defense. We gave away too many games last year.
Man, I want to ask both you guys. I want to ask both you guys since we're on to Dexter Fowler. It's been a very for me to say, it's been a very interesting time since he signed here. Really, quite frankly, I think if you look back on it, it's just a roller coaster of emotion, performance. I mean, you can go through the you can go up and down the gamut with Dexter Fowler. But the truth of the matter is, I think, as Mike brought up, you know, 49 million reasons why he's going to get another shot here. But I got to ask you both, and I'll let you both say your piece on this. I want you to give me your thoughts all the way up and down on Dexter from the fact of I look at two parts of this here. Number one, from a fan's perspective to a reality, and the fan perspective to reality for me is this: everybody, no matter what side of the spectrum you fall on Dexter, whether that be the money, the commitment level, all the past history, and now what's happened with, you know, let's face it, the social media flurry about Dex and all that kind of stuff. The reality of it is this, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts. So, you know, it's almost like anything you can find, if you don't like a guy, that's going to be a problem for you. So, like, winter warm-up was a problem for people because here's this guy, we've got this, he doesn't want to be here, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, I don't know why he's here. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's not coming to winter warm-up again, but then it wasn't a good look.
He
because,
is coming to winter warm-up.
Well, I know, yeah, I know that.
Hold it.
Yeah, no, hang on, let me finish, because I know he is. So my point was, he wasn't coming to winter warm-up, and then the thing was out there that he's going to Chicago, okay, and now he is coming to winter warm-up. Now he feels it's important. My thing is, and I say this 100% wholeheartedly, I didn't care when he wasn't coming. I don't care now that he is coming. I think it's great if he wants to come. I think if he wants to come, I think it's great. I don't understand why that's a big deal. I'm more concerned with can he help us on the field, which is where I think the real issue should be. I don't understand. Somebody's got to help me with this fascination as to whether or not a guy comes to winter warm-up and what that has to do with his performance on the field. I don't understand this. So, Mike, you go first and tell me what the correlation is between
I agree.
But whatever,
I agree with your point. Winter warm-up is a special time for Cardinal fans, and they like to be touchy-feely with their players. I understand it, and contractually they're not obligated to be there. They do it as a courtesy. I don't really care whether he shows up or not. I really care if he shows up and plays starting against Milwaukee when the season opens, because that's what he's here for. Nobody in St. Louis would care about Dexter Fowler and his activities if he wasn't a Cardinal. But he is, and they want to be touchy-feely, but I don't really care about that. I just want him to play when the season starts. And that's what anybody should care about. We've had guys before that have not been part of the winter warm-up, and I get it. I respect their private time, because this season – baseball is a grind, and Benji, you know it better than I do. You know, it's a grind to play and be at your best every day. So when you have downtime to get yourself ready to play in the off season and spend time with your family and do other things, I get it and I respect it. So I'm not a big advocate that, boy, if he doesn't show, I'm going to boo this guy because he didn't show up at an event in January. Now, with respect to the Cub thing, you know, that was something that they asked him to be part of well before now. And, you know, he wanted to obligate his commitment, and I respect that too. But, you know, he obviously changed because it's important to enough people that he thought he could try and mend things. Personally speaking, I think it's all a bunch of BS in how people have treated him. But, you know, the price he's paying is being on social media. He opened up himself and his family to social media. And there's some vicious people out there. And no matter what he was able to do, they weren't going to accept him. And he paid a severe price for it. You know, he admitted he dealt with depression last year. And I'd be willing to bet that he's not the first guy in baseball or any professional sport that's been part of depression. They just don't acknowledge it and aren't as open as he was. But at the end of the day, we really should focus on what he does in a Cardinal uniform when they say play ball in late March.
I agree 100%. Yeah. Benji, your thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. I just think that he's 100% right. It doesn't matter where if you go to these things. It would be great for him to go because this is his fan base. This is an organization that paid him that much money to be in his club. So he should go, in my opinion. He should pay respect to that. But if he doesn't go, it's not the end of the world. I'm more worried about him not hitting, not hustling, not catching the ball out there, not doing all these things. That's what it really matters. He needs to perform. And let me tell you, Mike, when I got my first contract was $4 million for 4 years, okay? Something like that. $4 million for 4 years. That was my first contract. And I felt obligated to play every single day, obligated to hustle, obligated to do my homework, obligated to perform. And when I couldn't do it, man, I hit the deck. I was depressed. I was really sad. I was mad. So I can relate with him because it is hard. This is what we always say on the show. These people like Dex and Yadi and Wong, Colton Wong and Paul DeJong that now has a deal under his belt and Karp, they are under pressure constantly. Like every single day, they're under pressure to perform because of the money they've been paid. So for fans to remind them, for fans to be booing, for fans to be ratting on them on social media or on the field, man, that is really crazy because I'm thinking, you know, the pressure that I had when I felt like I had to perform and all of a sudden I'm not doing it. Now I have the pressure of my fans. I mean, it was really depressed. Well, I feel for Fowler. I love the guy. He's awesome. And I really do wish him well. I know we need him, and I hope that he turns the page and comes back raking, man. But another thing I wanted to point out real quick, the spring training is going to dictate a lot of things, man. The spring training is going to dictate the starting rotation and the dictate the bullpen battle and the lineup, bro. You watch. The spring training is going to dictate all that.
Hey, Benji, let me run this by you because we got a new manager, and Mike Schilt, who put some spring training camps together for Tony, he's going to do it differently, and he's going to make more guys accountable. So my question to you is this. I thought the previous regime didn't give the regulars enough work. I didn't think we were ever ready to play at the beginning of the season. Do you think Mike Schilt and his accountability is going to make guys, they're going to play a few extra innings, they're going to pitch a little longer and be stretched out more? Do you think that's something that's going to get everybody's attention, including a Dexter Fowler and some other guys who probably would like to have a do-over from last season?
I believe 100% that you should feel accountable for any actions on the field, right? Like Yadi, for example. Throwing a guy out a second. Yadi, for example, playing more games. Karp, making sure he gets on base or whatever it is that he does well. Keep doing it. And Colton Wong, you know, getting on base because he's stealed. You know what I mean? So I love it. I love it. I love what he's going to do, and I hope he does it. Whenever Mike Socha, I got to Mike Socha in 2000, Mike, he was unbelievable, but he held everybody accountable. Everybody. Every single, even the bat boy, if he didn't go get the bat real quick, he would be like, hey, man, hurry up, dude. We're on the schedule here.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But, man, I love that. I hope he does it. I really love Mike Shields. I hope he held everybody accountable because that's only going to make everybody better. Remember, Tony La Russa did it in a big way.
Yeah.
Tony La Russa did it 200%. Over Mike Chill, 200% of Mike Chill, he did it, and look at how good he did.
Hey, I got to ask you a question, Mike. You've been around a lot of locker rooms. I think there's a lot of like the term that's getting thrown around right now and getting, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm searching for a good word here because I don't want to say the wrong thing because I think this is a real issue, and I think people kind of dismiss it. And the word depression, you know, depression can take many forms. These pro athletes are under an immense amount of pressure. We've seen guys struggle. We don't know what their personal battles are behind the scenes. I'm sure you've had off-the-record conversations, just as Benji has had, with numerous athletes that are going through struggles, and they really weigh on you. There's a variety of reasons, whether it be pride, pressure, any, you know, just like Benji said, when you sign a contract, we see it all the time. Guy signs a big contract, and the first year, a lot of times he struggles. He tries to live up to something that's almost unrealistic. But, You know, when you look at this, has that changed much for you over the years of watching the way that's handled from because of social media and because people have so much access now to the everyday goings on that are happening with these athletes?
It's a good question, but I want to back up. I don't believe that pro athletes deal with the same sort of pressure that their fans do. You know, pressure is when you can't make the mortgage and your kid needs medical attention or things of that nature when you only get so much money to take care of your family. I think what these guys deal with is a little bit more of a challenge of performance because they've been used to doing something on a very consistent and successful level. And when it doesn't happen, they don't have a plan B because this is all they've known since they were kids. They were always a little bit better than everybody else on the team. It's a personal challenge that sometimes they can't meet. And you know, and Benji, you know, when your career was over and you knew you were near the end, you knew it because there were things you weren't as good at as you used to be. And everybody else recognized it, and therefore they didn't have a place. In this situation, and you mentioned social media, it comes into play. But here's the thing. You know, players have the option. You don't want to get into social media, don't sign up for it. You know, Paul Goldschmidt's a classic example. He wouldn't know social media if it hit him in the head. And there's some guys who just elect not to be part of it. And if you don't think you can handle it, then get off of it and don't subscribe to it and just show up to the ballpark with a good attitude and be ready to play.
Well, I agree with you 100%. It's obviously an option. I mean, guys can do it. The thing that bothered me, and again, I've admittedly said on the show that I would go a different way than Dex, only if we could. Now, I understand the $49 million. The reason I go a different way is because I don't think the St. Louis Cardinals are in a position to take the risk. I mean, they've got to take that's what I believe. Now, again, they can say, well, Jim, you don't have to write the check. But my thing is this, and this is where it really bothers me. Whether I like Dexter Fowler or not as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals on-field personnel has nothing to do with Dexter Fowler the person. Dexter Fowler the person did a lot of good things for a lot of people, a lot of families, a lot of giveaways, a lot of promotion, a lot of this. That's the thing that kind of stinks for me is that a lot of guys get on there and they try to do some fun stuff and they try to have fun. Like, we want our athletes to be more engaging. We want them to be more open. We want them to be communicating. You know, you guys brought up winter warm-up. We like our fans. We like them to be here so that we can get touchy-feely. We want them to all do that, but then the minute that something doesn't go right, we want to attack them. And that was really where I was going. You're 100% right. If you sign up for something, you know what you're getting. But I just hate to see a guy who did well and did a lot of good things now be kind of shut off from that because we just can't help ourselves and we got to tweet at a guy. I've said it other times, you want to complain? Complain all you want. I'm not going to tell you how to fan, but what good does it do to at Dexter Fowler, you stink? I just don't understand that and I never will, but that's me personally.
Yeah, and listen, Jimbo, listen one thing. We sign up for this. We were baseball players since we were 3 years old. You don't think that your mom or your uncles or your friends or anybody criticize you along the way? Man, we've been criticized since we were three. We'll be like, why are you doing that? What are you doing? Man, you suck today. You didn't do this. You didn't do it when you were 5 years old. So we have to adjust as a baseball player when they pay you that much money, $500,000 to play 6 months of baseball because you're good enough to be in the major leagues. Or not. So we have to understand that part of it. We have to understand. I have people yelling at me in Toronto, right behind my back when I was in the on-deck circle. They said, hey, Bimo, strike out, man. You ate enough pizza. Let us eat some pizza. I mean, things like that. And then you get so irritated, man. But we have to learn as baseball players or as basketball players, like Kevin Durant's having trouble these days with fans. Why? Why is Kevin Durant having trouble with freaking fans when he's getting paid so much money to play a sport. He's really good. He's on the top of the game. And he has the opportunity to not care what that fans is saying in the wrong way. going towards you. Like Dexter Fowler in our case, fans can say whatever they want to him, and he should be fine. Now, we are very sensitive at times, and that's fine. We are human beings. But he shouldn't. He shouldn't. We should be finding a way to deal with these fans that are like that. You know, there's more good fans out there that are bad, and we should be able to deal with it, you know, in a way, right?
You know what, though, Benji? You touched on something earlier about people getting on your back early. You know, and you know it better than anybody because you had a great dad, and your mom can climb on you and Yachty and other guys as well. It's not a problem when you can get that sort of criticism and challenge from people that you respect and people who know you and people who are trying to help you be better. That's fine. And you know, we can all live for that. But when I think that what birds up people is the people on social media or the fans who have no clue, and they just say it because they say it, because they want to, because they got something else going on in their life that they want to take the frustration out on you. Yeah, so, you know, I get it, and we've all had coaches and people who climbed on us, and we might be upset, but we know at the end of the day they want us to be better. That's cool. That's why, you know, like I said, if you don't feel like these people can help you, then I wouldn't subscribe. I mean, it's just at this point, you just go play. And the people who are there to help you, you know who they are, and you just keep listening to them.
I think you both made some excellent points. To finish up really on the Dexter Fowler front, the reality of it is it sure appears, unless this is the biggest smokescreen job of all time, Dexter Fowler is going to be our right fielder for 2019. It doesn't matter to me what I think of whether or not I think he's the man for the job. It doesn't matter to me what he did yesterday. The reality of it is I love the St. Louis Cardinals, so I hope Dexter Fowler goes out and is good because we need to be better as a team. Mike, I'll finish up with this. You've seen a lot of Cardinal baseball over the years. You've seen good Cardinal baseball. You've seen bad Cardinal baseball. This Cardinal team, in my opinion, has some talent. I think Paul Goldschmidt definitely gives another bat to that lineup. I think that we need some things to go our way. In a perfect world, like, what are you seeing that's been done so far? And let's be honest, I think we all really feel like they are going to add a bullpen piece. So give us your best case scenario for what you see for the St. Louis Cardinals this year.
Well, they got to be, obviously, everybody's got to be better than what they were last year. That's where it starts. But if you want to circle a couple of guys, they have to be better. Ozuna's got to be better. He's got to be better from the moment he steps on the field with his hustle, his ability to throw a baseball, and he's got to be a better hitter. You know, you've got some other guys who have to grow into the position. I think this is the year Paul DeJong's got to cut down on the strikeouts. Cole Wong has got to find a way to go the other way with pitches better. You know, and Matt Carpenter's got to be a better player. I'm not sure if he's going to be an everyday third baseman or not, but he's going to have the job. And that's something that people aren't talking about. We're worried about Fowler. You better be worried about the other guy, too, because Carpenter didn't have what I call a great season. You know, we talk about him being a great hitter. He hit under 260. So we got to get something out of him other than 1 month out of the year. You mentioned the bullpen. Yeah, you're right. We got to address that. I think the greatest competition is going to be who's going to be the five starters. You got 10 guys coming in spring training and all have starting experience. And I think every inning is going to be important for certain guys. And the ones who don't make it, maybe they're part of the bullpen, maybe they're part of a trade to get somebody for the bullpen. But I think I would start off by saying everybody needs to be better by doing their job.
Yeah, that'd be a refreshing feeling. I know, like I mentioned earlier, Mike, that you've done, I mean, you've been on countless shows, you've reported, you've done commentary, you've done opinion, you've done the whole thing. You're doing a lot of stuff right now. You've got a lot of fans in this town that have been listening to you for a long time. What's your main thing you're doing right now though, Mike?
Well, I'm just trying to enjoy an off season more than anything else. And I'm working on a website that we're going to unveil in next year. And it's going to include a lot of fun things that we're going to do, including a podcast and some columns. And we got a bunch of good people that are going to be part of it. That's kind of kept me busy. I got into a weight loss program where I decided I was going to lose some weight. So I've been working out and watching what I'm eating, that kind of stuff.
Watch out for the Puerto Rican girls, buddy. Watch out for the Puerto Rican girls.
Yeah, that too. I learned, hey, bitch, I learned my lesson on them. But you know what? I'm going to take another stab at one as soon as you introduce me to one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Benji, hey, listen. They tell me that Bayamon area is got some really good talent, so I'm waiting on Benji to introduce me to one, and then we're going to go for it, man.
Well, hey, he's popular.
Hey, we got the whole
know.
Island full of them. We got the whole island full of them. You just got to be careful.
I only
rough,
need
man.
One.
They're very rough.
Hey, I know. I learned. You know what? Your brother Yachty gave you some great advice about what it was. He said, I'm just going to warn you. And about 3 months later, I went back to him and said, Yachty, you were right. And we just started laughing, man. It was hilarious. One, it was not far from your neighborhood, Benji. So he warned me, and he was right. But I'm going to take another stab at it.
They're rough, buddy. They're rough, man.
Hey, Mike, I got to ask you one last question before you go, only because, you know, I appreciate the fact that you have seen some, let's face it, you've seen some great talent come through St. Louis. I mean, you've been a fan, of course, even before that, but you've had the opportunity and privilege to be around, let's face it, some of the most talented players to come through this town. You brought up Yachty. I don't bring this up because Benji's on the show, but he has been an unbelievable player from the standpoint of almost defying Father Time to this standpoint. You've seen a lot of great players come through here. His ability at this age to do what he's doing behind the plate, is that like a, for you as a guy that's seen it, is that like not a head scratcher, but is that something you look at and go, man, that doesn't surprise
no,
me?
No, it doesn't surprise me, but I'm going to go one step further. I think he's a better person. He and I have a great relationship where I give him his space. But he knows that, you know, he can trust me and I can trust him. But I like the way he treats other people. And that's something that a lot of people don't see that makes him one of my favorite people. Not just players, but one of my favorite people. And I know it comes from his background growing up and reading Benji's book about his dad tells me all I need to know about him. But, yeah, you know, I'm not surprised because, you know, I see him put the work in. You know, you can go down to Jupiter, and I got a home down in Jupiter that's not far from the ballpark, and I might walk over there in January, and there he is, not only working out, but he's giving back to young players. So I know that the work he puts in December and January, he's rewarded by in July and August because he's standing when a lot of guys have already rolled up the carpet.
You know what? Every time I'm about to let you get out of here, because I'm sure you're busy, I come up with one last question. You get to work around
that's
Mike
right.
Shannon.
Benji's buying dinner this year, so don't worry about that. He's going to buy some dinner this year.
Rosalitas, buddy. Rosalitas, let's go.
Hey, last question.
Well, as long as we get somebody from Bayamon to come with us, I'm good. You know that. I'm not going to let you off the hook on that one.
Mike Shannon is loved. I mean, everybody loves themselves some Mike Shannon. Now, again, I know you've known him for a real long time, but doing the things that you're doing around him and the time you spent around him, I mean, what's it like being around that guy?
Best teammate you could ever have. He looks out for his guys. He's funny. I tell people this all the time. I might have one of the few jobs where every day I show up to work and I'm going to laugh about something. We have such fun, him and John Rooney and Jim Jackson and I. We giggle all the time for certain things. But I've never seen a more giving person. There's so many things he does behind the scenes for so many that, you know, it take another hour to do. But it's been a treat for me, and I'm blessed and privileged to be able to call him not only a coworker but my friend.
Yeah, it's got to be an amazing thing to be around such an iconic figure as he, you know,
I
does
love
something
Mike
that
Shannon.
They love. Everybody does.
I,
that's
I
the thing,
him.
You know. Everybody loves him. That's what's
well,
great.
Well, I'll give you a good example. And Benji, you can attest to this. When you and Polo became part of what we do broadcast-wise, Mike Shannon made sure that you guys or expose everything we are when it comes to coming in to eat with us or anything else we do, because that's who he is. And, sure, you know, there's no thing, you know, ever since you guys have been around, we make sure you guys are included in stuff we do as well. And that's because of Mike. And he set that example, and whoever follows him better understand that's part of the job.
Nah, we love him, man. We love him. You guys took care of us right from the get-go. Remember, guys, the Spanish radio, it wasn't that big, or it's not that big, man. It's really hard to become somebody on the Spanish radio, to become something of it. You guys have had the English TV, the English radio, but to have a Spanish radio and the way you guys embrace us, holy crap, man. We cannot be more thankful than to you guys. Actually, not anybody else, because remember, the TV are busy. The people on TV, they've been really good to us, but they're busy. You guys are busy, but you guys are right next to us, and we always do our thing. And, oh, man, we could do another show about it, but this is crazy. You guys have been taking care of us, and we're very thankful, man. We always talk about you guys anyways. We always do.
Well, once I learn Spanish, I can hear it for myself.
Hey, I can't tell you the number of times. I always tell the story. Driving home, my son was at a college baseball showcase, and Yadi hit a home run on, and I mean, it was a big one. I mean, a minute it left the bat, you know, Mike was like, and I mean, I immediately switched over to listen to the call with Polo and Benji. And the two kids in my car, both freshmen in high school, none of us understood a word, but everybody had a smile on their face just listening to him. So the excitement level, the things the things that all you guys do is great for Cardinal baseball. It's great for being a Cardinal fan. Mike, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. Like I said, I said it earlier, man, you've become synonymous with the St. Louis sports scene, man. You've done it all. You've been around for a long time. You've seen a lot of great things, and I can't thank you enough for being with us today.
Well, it was a pleasure and an honor for me. You know, when Benji calls and he needs something, he knows I'm there for him. But it was a treat for me, and please keep me in your thoughts next time you want to do it. Just call me back, and we'll have some more fun.
And keep us in your thoughts, too, on your podcast, man. You never know.
Oh, yeah. No, you're already on the list. Don't worry about that. I got you covered already.
Hey, Mike, that's the best part of working with Benji. I don't ever have to do those. Nobody wants to hear from me. They just want to hear from him. So I just get to sit back and enjoy.
he's a treat, man. He's one of my amigos, man. I love him to death and everything he's brought to St. Louis. So we'll have some fun again. But, yeah, Benji, I'll give you a holler for sure.
All right, Mike. Well, hey, thanks, man, for joining us. We appreciate it. And I got your number saved, bud. Don't be fooled. You'll be getting a text from time to time, my friend.
Not a problem.
All right.
You guys take care.
All right. That is the one, the only Mike Claiborne. Benji, great job. Again, you're lining us up some great guests. And a great conversation today, you know, on the Dexter Fowler front. Like I said to Mike, we're running out of time here. That conversation went quick, but man, it was fun to talk to a guy that's seen so much. I say this, folks, and I mean this. I didn't care when he wasn't coming. I don't care now that he is coming. In fact, my personal opinion is he ought to go to the wedding. Okay, if you have a friend or a family member that's getting married, you need to go to a wedding. So I hope he's not missing the wedding. I hope he's maybe coming in, and then he's still going to get to go to the wedding. There is no way, shape, or form this guy should miss that to come to the winter warm-up. But
well, let's tell people that the real deal, Jimbo, the real deal with them is we don't hate Dexter Fowler. We don't do that. We don't hate him. We don't dislike him. We just want him to perform as anybody on a Cardinal organization wants. That's all it is. But we're not dogging the guy because he's a bad person. I'm telling you from my heart, I deal with him and I talk to him and I see how the kids treat him in the clubhouse. I mean, the guy is loved in the clubhouse. All we're talking about here is performing, right?
Yeah,
we want him to perform. We want him to do good for our Cardinals. That's what we're discussing. We're not dogging him. We're not dogging Carp. We want all of our kids. We want the Cardinals to have the best team in baseball. I mean, hands down.
Sure.
So it'll be good to – it was good to say that to the fans, right? Like, we better say that to the fans. We're not hating on anybody. When we have discussions, you heard Mike. He loved the guy. He knows him better than I do. He hangs out with him. But he told us straight up, he needs to be better.
Wow.
He needs to be better. So that's one of the reasons why we don't hate guys. We're not trying to do that here on this show. We're trying to see the better of the St. Louis Cardinals, which I see the better to win some games.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And we'll see what happens. Listen, the bottom line is, like I said, barring something really interesting, okay, this guy is going to be our right fielder. So I'm going to support him as our right fielder because that's what I do. And I'm not telling you have to. You do whatever you want to do out there. But the truth of the matter is we're not going to get away from it. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Don't forget you can learn more about us at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. It's free. We'd love you to do that as well. As I think I've mentioned before, the algorithm on Facebook's changing and we're having a hard time keeping track of where our downloads are coming from. So the easiest thing for us is for you to subscribe to the show. And like I mentioned before, you get a notification on your mobile device, and that way you know the show's out and it's ready to go for you. Find us on social media. At Birds on a Bat Show is our Twitter account. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us there, we're going to follow you back. We're interested in what you have to say. As always, we participate real heavily in Facebook and all the Facebook groups, starting with us. You can find us at Two Birds on a Bat. Just type it in the search bar. Once you see us, like our page and follow it, of course. We're going to ask you to click invite your friends because we're sure you've got a ton of Cardinal fans that are friends of yours as well. Invite them in. And as we always say, typically anywhere from in the off season, it's 2 to 3. This week we'll probably have 3. When you see the pin post, that's our latest show. We're going to ask you to like that post, throw a comment on it. And more importantly, we're going to ask you to share it. That's how we reach more fans and some of your friends and things like that. So if you do that, you're eligible for some of the prize giveaways that we've gotten. Compliments of M4byYachty.com, Benji Molina, Yachty Molina, and the Great Foundation. So again, that's every time you do that, you're eligible. We usually give something away about every couple weeks. So thank you so much for the people that do that. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat as well. You can also find us at lineupmedia.fm, home of all the great podcasts, but now Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. If you want to be a part of something great, it's free. Download it on your mobile device. You're going to love all the stations, and there's new ones coming on board every day. It's sleek. It's handy. The new version's out. You guys are going to love that. To all of our Facebook partners out there, thank you. I'm going to bring them up in a second after I remind you to check out all of our associates that make our show possible. Adam Smokehouse, you hear us talk about those guys all the time on Watson Road. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays open till 7, so you don't have to rush to get there and get it before you get home. They also deliver now. Find out if you're in their zip code. And, of course, their catering is unbelievable. They got the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. I can't tell you that enough times. Give them an opportunity. I know you guys are going to love it. And like I said, if you're thinking about the holidays, you better get over there and get your order placed because it's busy. So that's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. Tell Mike we said hello. Don't forget Gators Baseball Academy, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Guys, the off season is where you get better. All the baseball players are working in the off season. Hopefully you're playing multiple sports. Is that something I believe in? But if you really want to work on your game and you want to craft your game and get better, you do that in the winter by working on your stuff, you know, hitting, fielding, catching, all that kind of stuff. Gators Baseball Academy's got you covered, whether you're in Missouri or Illinois now, as they now have the Missouri Gators, the Illinois Gators, and the Gators Baseball Academy, which is the prep. You can learn more about their organization and their four-pillar system where they really, really are concerned with how they help you grow as a person as much as a baseball player. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You heard me mention earlier my good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget him, residential, commercial, or industrial. He's got you covered. That's InnovativeCompanies.com for heating and cooling, electric, plumbing, and, of course, the construction team. Give them an opportunity for your business. To all of our Facebook partners, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page, Mick Light with Arch City Media and his 150,000 strong. My good friends, and Benji, you did a great job on the show last week, Cardinals 24/7. The great podcast network that they have going, all the blogs that they're doing, their Facebook pages are tremendous. You got Chris Lawless, who I just respect the hell out of, and his passion and love, and he just does it from his heart. Ron, who's really taken podcasting to another level, I think he does a tremendous job. He's just so good at what he does. Gino, again, there's another guy that's passionate about what he does. Larry, the whole gang over there, I just think
again, they've got something really special going on, folks, and I would encourage you to check it out. Vicky and Linda with fans of Yadier Molina, obviously one of our favorite pages. I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Tremendous. Check them out as well. Good Cardinal groups, folks. St. Louis Cardinals crew, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals. Cardinal Freak, who's been a friend of ours for a long time. As I always say, there's no shortage out there of Facebook groups and things to be a part of if you want to get your Cardinal fix. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, I'll see you on Wednesday. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.